Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, May 22nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A former ZANU-PF stalwart Kudakwashe Basketi says his expulsion from the ruling party is a blessing in disguise, as the future of Zimbabwe now lies in the damned activists and not the current leadership of the party.
I have no doubt that the future lies in us. What is in them is current. But the future is in us. If they knew what they were doing, they would not have taken that chance.
But ZANU-PF says the expulsions are part of a scheme to cleanse the party of dangerous elements.
Even a snake removes its old scales so that it can grow a new one and it remains stronger. It's a continuation of the cleansing process. You don't do it at once. You do it slowly but surely.
The founding president of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, says Harare might degenerate into chaos as the country's economic crisis worsens.
In their preoccupation with intra-political fights, no one is paying attention to the erosion of the economic well-being of the people. And eventually, people cannot get to work. That's the most dangerous thing.
And the reunification of the MDC formation led by former Industry Minister Walshman Ncube and the MDC renewal team has been officially called off.
Former ZANU-PF stalwart Kudakwashe Basketi says his expulsion from the ruling party yesterday is a blessing in disguise, as the future of Zimbabwe now lies in the damned activists and not the current leadership of the party. Basketi says most of his colleagues who were expelled for allegedly being part of a ZANU-PF faction, said to be led by ousted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, which allegedly wanted to topple President Mugabe, are not worried about the expulsions. He is among seven former senior ZANU-PF officials who were dumped by the party yesterday for having allegedly hatched a plan to oust Mr. Mugabe at the party's congress last December. Several others have been suspended for between 3 and 5 years.
The ousted leaders have dismissed these allegations as unfounded, noting that it is part of a wider plan by the other group allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa to succeed the 91-year-old president. The other expelled senior members include Mashonaland and East Party stalwarts Ray Kaukonde and Olivia Muchena, Maswingo political gurus, former energy minister Dzikamai Mavaire, and war veteran Claudius Makoba, and David Butau of Mashonaland Central Province. Basketi tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they are now preparing to rescue Zimbabweans from the current ZANU-PF leadership.
If they knew what they were doing, they would not have taken that chance, because my expulsion is just a fulfillment of God's plan for what I'm supposed to do for my country. It's just likened, for your own clarity, with that story of the brothers of Joseph who went and threw him into a pit, thinking they are getting rid of him, but only to realize that in the future they were creating a better future for themselves and for the others, because he then later became their governor and saved them from hunger. The same you can say about the story of Jesus.
So what are you going to do next? Are you going to join the Mujuru side?
God will guide the plan, because it is his plan.
Are you saying that maybe this is the end of the original ZANU-PF?
I have no doubt that the future lies in us. What is in them is current, but the future is in us.
What wrong did you do, Mr. Basketi?
That's what I am saying to you. It doesn't need somebody to be wrong in order to be put in this position. I told you Joseph had done nothing wrong. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Eminency or the maturity of a plan of God causes people to act, and that's why they acted. I welcome it myself because God has entrusted the future in my hands.
That was Kudakwashe Basikiti, an expelled senior ZANU-PF official, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
ZANU-PF Politburo member Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana says they have expelled what he calls the Gamma Talks group, a somewhat derogatory reference to those who were said to have allegedly attempted to topple President Mugabe.
What's going on?
When you remove my Gamma Talks, you are cleaning yourself of poison. You remain pure. Even a snake removes its old scales so that it can grow a new one, and it remains stronger.
But in this case, Mr. Mangwana, it seems as if these suspensions and expulsions are becoming the order of the day in the party. What do you think?
They are not the order of the day. It's a continuation of the cleansing process. You don't do it at once. You do it slowly, but surely.
And don't you think that this Gamma Talks issue is getting too far, maybe?
No, it's not getting too far. It's getting finished.
What do you mean?
We are cleansing ourselves and we remain stronger after removing the bad apples. It's one thing to continue with a wrong thing with you in the process of trying to maintain what is so-called stability. Then at the end of the day, you find out that you actually are in a worse position. We don't want to go through the Tsvangirai scenario where every 3 years there's a rebellion from inside. That weakens you. So remove them before they rebel. And so, then that way you become stronger. We are strategists at politics in Zambia.
So, but is this not weakening the party?
Do not forget that we are the first party to fire their own president in the form of Darling Stole. And that way the revolution even became stronger. When we fired Darling Stole, the party became stronger, Zanda became stronger, and we liberated the country without. That is the character of Zanpia. It doesn't tolerate nonsense. It gets stronger when it removes its bad apples.
That was ZANU-PF Politburo member Munyaradzi Paul Mangwana speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
The founding president of the MDC, Morgan Tsvangirai, says Harare might degenerate into chaos as the economic crisis worsens with the ruling ZANU-PF party engaged in serious factional fights. Tsvangirai tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in an exclusive interview that Zimbabweans must come together before the situation deteriorates further.
The state of the economy definitely needs attention urgently. In fact, we need a state of emergency to address a myriad of problems that the economy is facing. It cannot be treated as business as usual. It's laser for approach by government. It's not going to resolve the issue. The real fundamental problem is that this economy needs fundamental reforms. And unfortunately, ZANU-PF's priority is to, instead of reforming, they only look at control. And that kind of an attitude does not unleash the economic potential of the country. So I think you need both political and economic reforms to address the lack of confidence in the economy that we are facing.
But when you say there's an urgent need to reform and for a sort of a state of emergency to address the issue, how should the government go about doing this?
First of all, they have to change policy on a number of policy constraints. You cannot have 80% of your revenues going to wages and salaries. You cannot have an indigenization policy which is affecting confidence from outside when you need foreign direct investment. You need to deal with corruption and the rule of law issues. You need to engage the international community so that you're able to deal with your debt burden, debt overhang that we have in the economy. So there are a number of policy measures, and definitely to change the governance culture in the country is a priority.
But it appears Mr. Mugabe's government is showing no signs of reform. How is this going to end?
Well, they are leaping from one crisis to the other. And unfortunately, you can't buy a crisis off. A crisis will lead to another crisis and eventual collapse. I can tell you that in their preoccupation with political intra-political fights. No one is paying attention to the erosion of the economic well-being of the people. And eventually, people cannot just watch. And that's the most dangerous thing. It will cause instability in the country.
Let's turn to your recent trip to Germany. Tell us about your visit.
Well, my visit to Germany was a diplomatic invitation. And I went to Germany with a delegation to engage various sectors of the German society, the government, civil society, even some of the, I had a meeting with one of the state governors, you know. It was quite wide-ranging, and I think the engagement led to a better understanding of where the crisis is, not only the crisis of the country, but also the situation in the political, in the MDC. And the political situation in ZANU-PF, they want to send a delegation to Zimbabwe, which is coming in the next week, and a business delegation, that is. And we had a wide-ranging engagement.
That was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, the bets are officially off on the reunification of the MDC formation led by former Industry Minister Welshman Ncube and the MDC renewal team. In a brief statement to its members and supporters today, the Ncube MDC said the process had been suspended after the renewal team indicated it wanted to hold a solo congress to resolve its leadership issues.
The agreement between the two formations was that they would hold a joint congress this year to pick new officials to lead the new reunified party. But the plans started to unravel last month when the MDC renewal said it would hold its own congress. The Ncube MDC, however, says it remains fully committed to the reunification process and building a broader coalition of Democrats to take on ZANU-PF. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached the party spokesman Joshua Mhambi.
You will notice that we're actually not talking about anything new. The sentiments have been awash on the press that they've opted or elected to go through a program that will take them to Congress. But the details of why and how they've opted to do that, you can get them from them. But as a matter of emphasis, we are committed to working with all the democratic forces in the country, those people who believe we must be the change that we want.
Do you still harbor any hopes that this process will resume at some point, or this is it?
Well, it's not harboring hope. It's a matter of commitment. We are committed to unification. That's never been a doubted fact. So we are not harboring any hopes. It's a matter of commitment to talk. We want to come together to bring about a meaningful change that will ameliorate the situation in which we are for the common good of the people. The situation in the country requires that people get too serious about resolving it. So we feel the coming together of democratic forces is one of the best things that could ever happen to the country.
That was Ncube MDC spokesman Joshua Mhambi on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Bulawayo.
State employees and the government of Zimbabwe today failed to reach an agreement on various issues being demanded by workers as a way of improving their livelihoods and working conditions, with the government saying it is broke. The deadlock emerged at a National Joint Negotiating Council meeting held by civil servants and government representatives in Harare today. The civil servants were demanding, among other issues, a review of employees' salaries, the facilitation of the importation of duty-free vehicles, provision of residential stands, and the weeding out of the so-called ghost workers. The two parties are expected to meet again after consulting their respective camps. Two previous meetings also reached a deadlock over similar issues. Studio 7 speaks to Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, or PTUZ, General Secretary Raymond Majongwe about these negotiations.
Yes, we had a meeting this mid-morning, and we reached the government on our position paper for 2015, which basically alluded to our request and demand for a salary review. We also had the government responding to that particular position. And they made it very clear that they are also hamstrung. They don't have the capacity to sustain any salary increment. And they also brought back a position on our request around debunching, where they proposed that this matter will be dealt with in due course. They also spoke to issues around housing, and they are proposing a roadmap, which we are also saying needs to be varied according to our observations.
Do you think that this meeting was fruitful?
The most important thing is if the results will be seen in due course, because we are yet to respond to the government position, and we will be meeting government next Thursday at 10 o'clock to give us their response on the position that they brought to our attention. Secondly, we honestly want to believe that, yes, with dialogue and consultation, we will be able to find a solution to the challenges that civil servants are facing.
That was PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe in Harare with Studio 7.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at President Robert Mugabe's remarks on the need for a new revolution in South Africa.
And heartbroken Zimbabweans turn to the young warriors following a disastrous outing by the senior soccer team.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Iraq's Vice President Ayad Alawi has criticized as ineffective the campaign of airstrikes by a US-led coalition against Islamic State militants.
President Barack Obama has reaffirmed the US commitment to Israel's security.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the suicide bombing of a Shia mosque in eastern Saudi Arabia today that killed at least 19 people and wounded dozens of others.
A Kenyan official say Islamic militants have attacked a village in northeastern Kenya in the same area where militants seized the control of a university and killed nearly 150 people last month.
And Ethiopia is holding a major election on this Sunday, but critics of the long-time ruling party say systematic repression has made this vote a non-event. President Robert Mugabe's views on South Africa's economic problems that he uttered in Botswana this week have elicited mixed views. Mugabe, who was in Botswana on Southern African Development Committee business, told the local media that South Africa needs another liberation to empower its blacks, who remain marginalized despite a political dispensation that brought majority rule. Mr. Mugabe added that the first South African president, the iconic Nelson Mandela, negotiated his freedom with whites and did not consider the needs of black economic empowerment. He said the recent outbreak of xenophobic violence was because of white dominance. The Zimbabwe state media has been gloating on the statement, while in South Africa, the speech was largely ignored by the authorities, but some citizens took to social media lambasting Mr. Mugabe. We reached independent commentator Chamunoro Amadiridze, who says Mugabe's assessment of the situation in South Africa is wrong.
It's an insult to the struggle that the South Africans embarked prior to 1994. To try and free themselves from the apartheid regime. So it's just an insult to another Southern African country, just an insult to the freedom fighters of South Africa. We have fought hard to liberate South Africa. And I think it has no semblance of truth at all, because heavy presence of whites in South Africa does not entail that the country is not liberated. The country, I can say, is liberated both economically and politically. But when the whites are having companies more than they do in Zimbabwe, You can't say that the country needs liberation.
But Mr. Madiridze, Mr. Mugabe's assessment of the situation is based on the xenophobic attacks, which he says are wrongly directed to fellow Africans, when it's the whites who control the economy.
The xenophobic attacks, I can say they have to be condemned in the strongest terms that they deserve. But they do not entail that the South Africans have gone berserk, because they really have an issue that they should raise. But maybe launching xenophobic attacks, I think they used the wrong channel there. But they do have an issue.
That was independent commentator Chamunoro Madiridze. He spoke with Studio 7 from Cape Town, South Africa.
This Friday marks 2 years since Zimbabwe adopted a new constitution, which drafters and some observers believed was well-crafted to transform the nation into a democratic state. Parliament of Zimbabwe recently introduced a bill designed to harmonize old laws with some provisions of the current supreme law. There are at least 400 laws that need to be harmonized with the new constitution, a tall order for a nation that is struggling to scrape some so-called draconian laws like the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, or AIPA, the Public Order and Security Act, and several others. The big question is, have Zimbabweans noticed any difference between the old and new constitution? For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with Irene Petras, director of Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. Petras says it's a very sad indictment for only two laws to have been passed in the past 2 years.
Another thing which is of quite a lot of concern is that people are not aligning their actions to the new constitution. So there are certain new provisions which are there and obligations which are placed on the state and on others to do certain things, and they're not complying with those, and that doesn't need an alignment of laws for it to happen.
Why is it taking such a long time for Zimbabwe to find itself aligning these laws?
Well, it is quite a long process to align laws, because there's a lot of stages that have to be passed. The ministries have to be the first ones to look at legislation and see whether or not it needs to be amended so that it's in line with the constitution. Then the Cabinet Committee on Legislation has to approve any policy changes. After that, the laws have to be drafted by the Attorney General's office, and then they have to go through the parliamentary process before they can be approved and become law. So that whole process has taken a very long time. And I think that particularly the line ministries are not taking seriously the need to look at the laws.
In that respect, will there be any political will coming from those responsible?
Political will has to improve.
That was Irene Petras, director of Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe lost to Pakistan by 5 wickets in the first 2020 match played at Lahore Stadium in Pakistan. And in soccer news, Zimbabwe football fans are now focusing their attention on the country's young warriors and the mighty warriors after the senior warriors' COSAFA Cup dream came to a sudden halt. Reporter Michael Kariachi gives us the story.
The dream that had flickered after 2 wins over Mauritius and Seychelles soon evaporated after the warriors were handed a 4-1 drubbing by the brave warriors of Namibia. Now fans are shifting their attention to the young warriors and the mighty warriors who have international engagements over the weekend. The young warriors play Swaziland in a 2015 Africa Youth Championship qualifier, while the mighty warriors are away to Zambia. Young warriors coach Kaliso Pasua believed the young warriors will prevail over the Swazis, despite what he says were short preparations for the match. At the same time, the race for the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League title continues, with league leaders chicken in away to Wange in a tricky fixture for the leaders. However, the Gamecocks coach Joy Antipas thinks he has built a team strong enough to win the league title.
Defensively, I think we are sound, as well as in central midfield, we are quite sound with Danny Piri and Tabani Kuretem. I think also in attack, we've improved from last season. So I believe that we've got a squad in the making.
The other matches are as follows. Chapungu versus Flame Lily at Ascot. ZPC Kariba versus FC Platinum Nyamunga Stadium. Buffaloes versus Harare City Sakuba. Highlanders versus Wawa Baba Fields. Triangle versus Aumine Gibo. Dongo Sawmills versus Capes United at Wengere Stadium. Dynamos are playing on Monday as Rufaro Stadium is not available due to the Young Warriors engagement. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
And finally, in our music segment tonight, we profile gospel artist Ngosi Duwe, whose group, The Christ Ambassadors, has just released a 6-track album titled Red Card Satan.
Kosenja Dube is a 30-year-old Bulawayo-based gospel singer who was born and bred in Gwanda, Matabeleland South. Last year, he put together a 10-member gospel group that he named Christ Ambassadors, and this year the group managed to release their debut 6-track album.
This is my first album, titled Red Card Satan, which was produced in 2015. Red Card Satan, because people should not fight each other, they should realize that Satan is the problem. They have to take him out of their life.
Tracks that are on the album include the title track Red Card Satan, Uketabani, which we played at the beginning of the show, Umhlengi Wami, Iphupho Lami, Ekhaya, and Moyo Ingcwele. Attended Magelani Primary School before proceeding to Gwanda High School, but says at school he was not involved in music and only started singing in praise and worship groups at Assembles of God Church.
I learned at Magelani Primary School and I did my O-level at Gwanda Government Secondary School, and then I started music last year, but all the time I was in the church choir.
We play out with the title track Red Card Satan, whose video Dube says is in the final stages of production in South Africa and will soon hit screens both locally and in the region. Reporting for Studio 7 in Bulawayo, I'm Joseph Njanji.
Red Card Satan coming, bringing our show to an end. But before we go, remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with experts and listeners about worsening factionalism in President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF.
Now to recap today's top stories.
A former ZANU-PF stalwart Kudakwashe Basikiti says his expulsion from the ruling party is a blessing in disguise.
The founding president of the opposition movement for democratic change, Morgan Tsvangirai, says Harare might degenerate into chaos as the country's economic crisis worsens.
And the reunification of the MDC formation led by former industry minister Welshman Ncube and the MDC team has been officially called off.
That's our broadcast this evening. Stand by for Studio 7 in Debele. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing